I said, Lord, what is the actual thing?
I'm still doing my job. I'm still my life to do that. I'm still doing my job.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Will. Bill.
That's true. I haven't seen anything.
Okay, if y'all can bear with us about 5 minutes, we'll clear this, and then we'll get back to business.
Thank you.
Charleston Town Business. Now, Austin Simons, if you see on your agenda, is not with us tonight, and several people have resubmitted this and put it on next month's agenda. And we have persons to address council, and we have the list here. Senator Gabby, we have one other person to address council. Ms. Eats, you're first on our list. Doris. I saw her.
I don't know where I can get all of my stuff started.
Doris?
Yes?
You're up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for, again, hosting Trinity into this.
Okay.
I gave to the park my proposal for the parking, private parking on Edge Street. I know that parking is a problem, and maybe a little bit farther from the beach, but I'm hoping that it will help relieve some of the parking.
We've got the information you sent, Ms. Eakes, and the parking lot that you're proposing to construct will be a...
I haven't made that decision. It can be. I was thinking of going with any grass to start with the little concrete pads. But if it's your desire to have it paved, I can do that too.
Did you, another question, Doris, if you don't mind, did you bring this information to John before the next meeting, the building inspector?
I did. I did. I gave it to the clerk.
And she gave it to John. Okay, well, we've got what you've given us in our packet. John, would you like to make a comment at this time?
And I assume that John
got it. Just when you're to the zoning and just three or more lots, just had to be.
Yes, sir. I did get the proposal. One of the first things that I checked was the zoning, which is RA2. And then I checked the permitted uses. Parking lots are not a permitted use in RA2 zoning. In fact, the only zones that are do allow parking lots as permitted uses are B1 and B2. In addition to that, this project will have to do with 3 lots, and for that reason, it should go before the planning board, the planning and zoning board for subdivision. Yes, sir.
Anybody have any questions to John or Ms. Eaves?
I believe that P&Z is deliberating on making that area there from 3rd towards the beach, including that in the B1 business district.
From 3rd, this does not have anything to do with 3rd Avenue. This is 4th Avenue and 8th Avenue.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So your recommendation is if Ms. Eaves wants to pursue this, go ahead and send it to P&Z for review, since it does fall under the 3-lot subdivision.
The only way that I can see this happening under our ordinances is with a special use permit process that we initiated several years ago. This will be our first time using it, but the first step of that is to go to the planning and zoning board. So, yes, sir, that's my recommendation.
Okay.
anybody? Ms. Eakes, do you have any other questions with us? So we are going to go about doing that. We need to go about the ordinances. This will need to go to P&Z, and then you have to request a special.
You will tell me what I've got to do. Just
that young man right there.
There's an, yeah. There's an application form and some things that you need to submit, but it's all spelled out.
Yeah, I'll get with John.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds. And Mr. Barris, I think.
I'm here tonight, a mayor and council, to discuss a carpet waiver for Big Daddy's. We're going to put an exterior deck approximately 1,600 square feet on the existing planter area. Leave the palm trees pretty much as they are, and just have some outdoor seating to enhance the Prairie Beach experience. We have very few places where we can sit outside, and just want to enhance the building, the business district. And with that in mind, we'll be able to approximately 60 seats in the exterior, and with that, we would need a parking waiver request.
Have the rest of y'all seen the plans for this? Greg, you got the motion.
Got the plan.
Okay, sir. John, while we're looking at this, we also don't have any comments about this. We'll talk about this later in the agenda of new business.
Would you like to wait for them?
Yes, yeah, I'd like to wait for them, yes, sir. Well, if you will, just bring everybody up to speed on what's transpired so far, the early meetings, if you don't mind, John, Greg, if you don't mind standing there.
Basically, around about a month ago, Ms. Eakes came forward to me and asked about placing a deck out in the front of Big Daddy's that was front on K Avenue, North Fort Fisher Boulevard. Since then, I received a set of plans from Mr. Greg Reynolds here, architect. A set of plans that have gone to the health department, which I understand have been approved. The fire marshal's office has a set of the plans, and as I understand it, they're reviewing us as of now. They have applied for a camera permit for this development. It is consistent with our ordinances in all aspects except for the parking requirements. And with the 60 added seats, it's my opinion that they would need an additional 15 parking spaces, even though they do not currently. They don't currently conform to the parking requirements with the seats that they do have now. This came up several years ago when Jack Mackles wanted to put their exterior deck out there, and council sent that request to planning and zoning. The end result was that council waived parking restrictions for Jack Mackles at that time. We do have an ordinance in place, actually a process in place to grant parking waivers for the B1 district. It's actually found in 19-334. It was made part of our ordinances on April 19, 2006, and the first part of that process would be to send this request directly to planning and zoning for their approval or denial, and at that point in time, it would come to council for the final approval.
And that was mostly informational for the audience, and I think several of us up here been working with John, Barry, and myself. So that's all under this on our agenda tonight under item 2 under new business. So Greg, we appreciate your presentation, and we'll discuss this later tonight. Thank you. Did anybody have any questions from the audience? Thank you.
No.
Mr. Thunder. Turn your head sideways over there. Okay.
I'm just trying to throw this one down.
Oh, okay. Mr. Alvin had to leave.
early, and so we're down to the approval of the consent agenda. Do we need to excuse Jim now?
Make a motion to excuse Jim Dugan.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Mr. Dugan is excused. Mr. Dugan and Dallas Gilbert wanted me to elaborate on this. Jim had a double knee replacement operation. He's doing well, but he couldn't be with us tonight. I was going to use it as an excuse after we adopted the workplace violence to push him down steps, but that may be why he didn't come tonight. So, anyway, he's doing well. We hope he's going to be here right away. The surgery, they actually glued the incisions together, which I didn't know they did. So, there might be about him. Thanks. Approval of the consent agenda?
A couple of things. I don't know whether it should be on the consent agenda or not, but the intern, Corey Long, who is going to be a part-time, I don't know, what do you call him, John?
Intern.
Working with John in enforcement. Does it need to go?
Has the special work been submitted?
Yes, sir.
And is that, where is that?
That's not a bad one.
No, I mean the state of work that we would see.
Oh, I don't know. We should have a copy of it.
Well, we would need to have a copy of hand before I think we can put it on the consent agenda. John?
This is not something that I'd like to be on the consent agenda. I'd like this to be discussed. I'd like to have a blessing from council before we move forward with this.
That's what I
had. As long as we discuss it.
Right. That's not part of it.
So we're going to add it under new business.
You're already awesome.
Anything else on the consent agenda?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
John's report. It's on. I don't see it yet. Anyway, John is going to give us a report on the C grant report that Spencer Rogers did for us. I think we've all got a copy.
That's something I'm going to jump up there and bring to y'all on department head office.
Okay, you can say that to the department head office. I'm going to come to that office here, John, if you want.
For some reason, I got five copies.
Yeah, I got five copies too. I'm going to fill two trees.
Okay. Give me yours, and I'll pass them out a little bit.
Hey, I'm with you, though. I got one. I got one.
Under old business,
make contributions?
She's not.
You're going to be.
Folks, while the guys are discussing this up here, just a FYI, we lost in the Court of Appeals today over the insurance rate appeal, so I don't know where to go from here. I'm assuming it will be appealed to the North Carolina Supreme Court on the Court of Appeals, but when I have that information, I'll make sure we send it out over with us. They did make the ruling today. It was favorable for us. We'll take that off there. Under all business, I would like to add Seymour Johnson Airbase Agreement / contract. That would be item number 11. I would like to add the tennis court estimates we have. That's item number 12 for council's blessings. And item 13 would be our debt set off program. This will just be very little discussion on this. It was actually adopted and passed by the last council, but it was never enacted. So we need to, in this debt, we'll discuss it at the proper time. Under new business, item number 9. We wouldn't forget about you, buddy. Item number 10 would be a moratorium to discuss a moratorium on video poker machines in Perry Beach. Item number 11 would be discussion of indecent attire on the beach of Perry Beach. And then Barry, number 12 would be, is John, the intern would be number 9 with you?
Okay, I thought he was going to clear it.
Any other changes to the agenda? Don't grab all the snacks with you. We're going to be here.
Dean, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll shift stuff around. If I don't have any opposition, we'll let Gilbert have his 3 minutes now.
And break in.
Adopt this one?
Oh, well, we'll adopt them in. Motion.
I think I'll adopt them in.
Agenda. On the favor, seem like say that. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Gates. Yeah, I'll make this real short. Our business, Blue Marlin Apartment, the moment speaking about the Blue Marlin, my business, we've seen a drastic decline in business this year. That's nothing new. Anybody's probably ever heard. The RRT tax that we have right now was intended, in my opinion, to promote tourism. And for me, it's hurting me. I'm basing my prices on the cost of our business, cost of our upkeep, taxes. I had several opportunities where I've had sales. And then when I charge the tax, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And I'm just letting council know that I'm going to try to work on ways with the marketing committee and possibly have a workshop. That if there's any way that we could take that second 3% and give it back to our customers in the form of upgrading the our establishment, my portion of it, and trying to generate revenues instead of generating taxes. That's the buy here is to lower costs so we can increase revenues.
So Gilbert, if you will explain to the folks here, and I think we know what you're talking about, that what you actually would like to rescind would be the last half of the taxes that are collected that are used for
ROT,
not the beach renourishment part.
That's right.
I would like to ask the clerk to make sure that Mr. Halpin is contacted prior to the next meeting of that committee and let him sit down and have that discussion with him.
I appreciate it.
Gilbert, before you leave, Andy, would you look into whether or not the council can rescind our vote to collect that tax? I know that there was a provision in the statute that we didn't have to adopt it, but I don't know if there is a provision that once we've adopted it, we can back out of it. That would be something that we need to be able to tell Gilbert as he pursues this.
I'll do it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
First item under old business is a closed session for personnel matters under GS 143-318.11. We'll have a motion to go into closed session.
I make a motion to go into closed session.
We'll have a second.
I'll start now.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Folks, we'll be right back. Clerk and attorney. We're asking to discuss the personnel matter. Thank you. We went into a closed session to discuss the personnel matter, and I'll now turn it over to our personnel officer.
The council has reached agreement in regards to the Nancy Jewett personnel hearing. Once the settlement has been signed by council, it is forward to the Jewett for her acceptance and signature. I make a motion that we agree, or that we vote on the agreement, the compromise agreement.
I second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Y'all might want to read the agreement.
Understanding, because with keeping Ann on there, you would actually have too many members, full regular members. So it would be under the condition that if somebody wasn't there, that Dolores would be an alternate. But as soon as Ann is her resignation is set, settled, then everybody would switch over. She would become a regular member.
Okay, but Ann's resignation, why wouldn't it just be effective tonight? Well, it's a week from now. Why wouldn't we just make Dolores a permanent member effective April 28th?
That would be fine.
The reason was that we have one member who may not be able to attend. We want to have somebody reserved. That was only just covering our bases.
When is the Board of Adjustment meeting?
27th.
Okay.
So she would be an alternate effective tonight until the 28th, then become a regular.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Okay. And Ann is in agreement with this.
Okay, it just seems to be.
I mean, I'm not a number, like I said, people have the agenda, we want to explain what's going on.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
After 6 months, long period of time, it's great to hear that Nancy's hearing was resolved, but we don't know what the resolution was. Will we be told that?
Read about it. After signing, yes, sir.
We're trying to say nothing.
I'm sorry?
After we have both sets of signatures, yes, sir, they'll be made available. In fact, we'll probably put it on the website. Yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
The reason, Jim, is that until Nancy accepts, the council has agreed to what we're offering. Until she accepts it, it's not legal.
Right. Item D,
Y'all didn't vote?
We got the back. I'm sorry, I was confused, and now that you've cleared it up, I second the motion for the resignation of Ann.
Yeah. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Item D, appointment of Ann Ross, she's explaining the zoning commission effective 4/28/10.
I thought we had already appointed Ann last month pending her resignation.
Well, we can't appoint her until the resignation's accepted.
Yeah, okay.
I make a motion.
That a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item E, appointment of a new member to the Citizens Finance and Budget Advisory Committee from applicants interviewed by council. Fuller?
Well, as you know, Mary Altman, for reasons of his wife's health, has resigned from the committee. We interviewed, and I think you have in your packet, the applications from the other four people who applied but were not initially appointed. I think in our conversations, in our last deliberations, we were all impressed with everybody who applied and would have been happy to appoint any of them. So,
do I have a suggestion from any of the council that they would like to appoint?
Well, my personal preference would be Mark Ferrer. He had a lot of experience and would be somebody who isn't serving already on a lot of other town committees and would bring some new perspective to things.
Mark has some heavy credentials he'll be bringing with him. Do I have a second to?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Ms. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Keener, discussion and consideration of hugging a tree. Yes, sir.
Last October, the adjudication committee brought up the idea of making Cherry Beach a tree city. However, that came with the sentence in the shell. James, at the same time, she was given notice, so nothing happened on it. And now they have brought it up again. I want to know if we want to make Cherry Beach a tree city. As you can see by this, it's quite complicated. Now, let's went through the forms. I was a little worried about whether you want to do this or not. You have to create a board or a department. You have to create about a 4 or 5 page ordinance. You have to have a budget of at least, in our case, $4,000, I guess, $2 per capita. And you have to have an Arbor Day observance. And the second page, you'll see that a lot of requirements, like, for instance, utility trimming expense, they need to be a partner who we're going to, like a progressive partner, would have a partner in the city tree program. They have to have no proper pruning methods. So at the next page, you'll see all the things that they expect as far as a list of 30 things that they expect. The ordinance, you look at the ordinance, the next page, you can see another 920 things. And it goes on and on. So I went back to Ken, adjudication, after seeing all this and saying, are you sure this is what we need to do and what are the real benefits? Because some of the benefits is to get the funds, but I'm not so sure about the cost and what it means to the town. So I've asked Ken in a few occasions for me to look at it again and come back with us and make sure this is what they want to do and what are the exact benefits and costs involved.
So you would like to make a motion to postpone this until it's reviewed by the beautification committee?
Yes, sir.
Second. All in favor, sir.
Can I ask a question that again?
No. Oh, yes.
I thought, if you go back to the recommendations that we got from the beautification committee for pursuing all of the B1 stuff that we've been talking about, that one of their things on that was that we become a tree city, that they thought it would be a marketability thing and it would be helpful. And yeah, item D under their recommendations, correct? Yes. Become a tree city. Locate town-owned sites for tree planting, hold annual Arbor Day event. Contact
She's got AT&T, but I think we all knew that that was Progress Energy and the cable company about treating ship. Well, I'm sorry, she's talking about the building they've got right here. And as far as this application, don't we already have a treat ordinance? And it would just be a matter of making sure that that ordinance is consistent with this application. One of the other things that the beautification committee talked with us about is either having somebody from Public Works become almost a full-time landscape person or getting a full-time landscaping company. And then we'll talk about that later on the agenda when we go through their recommendations. But I don't see, the only thing on here is the $2 per capita expenditure requirement. But if you read that, it says, the city worker's salaries and percentage thereof that are devoted to tree care can be part of county department. So we already have guys who work on this stuff. So I don't think we need to send this back to them to consider it again. I think we should, my personal opinion would be, I think we should go for this.
Okay.
How do you want to go
for it? I think, if I could, Tim, I think that we need to, Sunday, of course, is something things have to do tonight, but, and for y'all don't know, he's moving back into his house. He had a flood in his house. But anyway, I think we should consult him before we commit a person for this.
I agree. And we're not meant by agreeing to fill this application. We're not necessarily committing one of these people. Because what it says is that we may count their stuff. But what I think we need to do is, instead of just, I mean, this is something that the committee has come to us and said we need to do this.
When I went back to Ken, the one man in the committee had worked on, I went back to Ken, and Ken said he didn't know a whole lot about it, but the committee hadn't really done a lot of discussion on that, just a subject, and that he was willing to get the committee to really go over it and make sure that's what they wanted to do. So,
I guess I'm confused again then, because like I said, in their list of recommendations that they gave to us at our work session, in order of priority, the beautification committee recommends the following actions, included in previous development studies. And it says, become a tree city.
Yes, Ken.
I think that the tree ordinances are already, that John Batson worked on and some people worked on, the ordinance, you remember this, right, John?
I went over the Tree City application yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And they contributed to the regulations for where...
I don't know about contributing to it. We saw the application, we saw what was required, and I'll tell you the truth, I don't remember much more than that.
I mean, I don't know why we couldn't call the beautification committee our tree board.
Right.
And to some extent, the tree D is because part of the tree ordinance limits what you can cut down and clear a lot and stuff like that. John's got, if we have a community forestry program, we can either do that through John in enforcing the tree ordinances or through Tony's guys. An Arbor Day observance proclamation, we just need to look at the calendar and see when Arbor Day is and say, yeah, we'd like that.
Do you want to work out the cost of the town before we adopt this?
That's where it ended up last time, Michelle. Having trouble coming up with the cost.
Exactly.
That's again 2 to 5.
Well,
I'm not comfortable adopting it until I know exactly what we're going to do.
Okay. $2 per capita. What we need to do is find out how many capitas there are. Well, we got a calculator right here. Any of y'all that ain't a capita, don't raise your hand.
How many capitas are here?
Well, does anybody remember what the latest census number was? 2100.
We have gotten that back, but it is around 22. Between 21 and 22.
2100
is perfect residence. $4,200. And some of that money we're already spending. So that's the total hit that we would have to pay. And if we get, if we leverage that into grants, and promotional things, and we can put up a sign at the entrance of the town that says a tree city.
That has to be approved of me.
There you go. But they're already on board.
And I think we're, I said that, and we felt that last, or somebody's turning.
I'm making a number for the last thing, for the last thing. Okay. I'm the application for the last thing.
And that's 4,000 a year for activity.
But it may not be $4,000 in each business. That's where I'm
at. Well, yeah, it seems like with all the different things that are applicable, we're already spending.
Somebody has to do it.
I'll write
this down. I will be, it's all right with you, although this isn't in, I'm not the liaison of that committee or anything like that. I'd be perfectly willing to work with them all.
At this time,
that's all the time. There you go.
So you'd like to, if you want to try to adopt this tonight, would your suggestion be the way to get the number and bring it back?
How about if we make a motion that we proceed with this application, and that if it is determined that the commitment of the town exceeds $4,500, that we will not proceed with it. But I don't see, I mean, we put this off, that's from October, November, December, January, February, March, and we're going to put it off again.
Man, the trees growing out, that makes sense.
But just think, if we can plant trees when we first talked about it.
Yes, Candace.
The Arbor Day event could be selling little trees for a dollar or two to people to put in their yards. And maybe if we could work it out right, we could make some money.
I think Candace is right. I remember when Matt Montgomery organized the tree planting thing with the horticulturist down. I mean, we had 60 people show up for that. And we planted trees in the median down 6th Street and down D Avenue. And I mean, it's something that I think the community is behind. So my motion would be that we pursue, that we continue to complete the application and proceed with submitting the application unless it's determined that the commitment for the town would be more than $4,500 a year.
I'll second that. I would not like to kind of box in with this vote tonight until, unless it would interfere if we get permission from Sunday Point with the golf. This golf course has to have moving trees over there. I don't want to impede that.
Okay. Well, first of all, the town can adopt anything that applies to Sunday Point land.
No, then our John, it's our extraterritorial buffer area, so Mr. Attorney, is that really, would that apply to the extraterritorial area?
No, that's on the U.S. federal government, no.
Okay. If you read that ordinance, the EPA only takes into effect when Sunday Point disappears, because as long as it's federal land, we can't touch it.
But all some political signs today,
where but I don't think this will in any way impede the golf course. If anything, we can, you know, people have to learn to hook their frisbees.
Right. We have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Yes, I second it.
All in favor? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Y'all opposed. Okay. Number four, economic development studies update from the Planning and Zoning Commission, shoreline access, parking, beautification, and marketing advisory committees.
We had a work session a month or so ago with all of those committees to talk about the various reports and the recommendations of the study. What they thought we should pursue. And if y'all remember, the beautification committee submitted a memo recommending two-page memo listing their recommendations. The class committee had a two-page list of 25 recommendations. I think P&Z, Alan, they didn't have the memo that's being worked on, but they had some ideas about I think the biggest issue was burying the power lines. And we told those folks then that we would look at all the information they submitted to us, and then at this meeting give them some directions and things we wanted them to proceed on. So that's where we are. So I guess it's just a matter of who's got some suggestions.
Gentlemen?
Well, I made a list taken from the committees.
And I had a few extra copies, but not very many.
Item number two is removing the orange cones that are on the intersection of 3rd and K. And that was one of the items recommended by the beautification committee.
And Sonny and I met with the engineer there this afternoon. He said it was okay with him as far as putting in a 10-foot wide landscaping, removing 4 parking places and putting in an island. The beautification is talking about putting in just a tree and a triangle, but there really isn't space for that. And besides that, they need a larger barrier for that so you don't go across the road. So the actual saying make it 10-foot, at least 10-foot long. Somebody is going to check with engineering services about drawing up a very simple plan that we can take back to the DOT for approval. There's another thing. Everything you go through, at least 3 engineers and 3 departments have to get involved. He's just going to get in touch with the other department, and then we can take a plan back to Alan Pope when we're trying to communication and start gotten together and decide what it is. So we're just now already now with the plan back and looks like we can do something.
So that one's already in work, is reasonable. Yes, sir.
How many parking spaces is this going to take away in
the school? Because that's what's in the street.
We're not agreeing to that tonight. All we're doing tonight is saying for Chuck and beautification and Sonny and all to proceed with coming up with a plan. We'll still have to approve the final plan. But these are the things that the committee asked us to pursue.
I don't have any problem at all with removing those orange sticks. But the losing of the 4 parking spaces is what I have a problem with.
Well, hopefully.
Especially since we're talking about eliminating the need of some of these parking requirements for some of our B1 people.
Sure. Does the DOT absolutely have to have the 4 parking spaces if the engineer can come up with a way to close that off without losing the parking spaces?
I don't know. We didn't get into really detail. We just like the idea that we could put something there. We didn't get into actual details of how numbers or just he just did make the requirements. I know that what they were thinking is not what it was. It does have to be larger, which meant something parking has to come out. I'm not positive it's 4.
So this is a work in progress. You want to just leave it as a work in progress when we get to all the information?
Well, all of these are works.
Yeah, well, the land beautification, number one, landscaping, identify critical town landscape areas and in conjunction with other works, list proposals for professional landscape companies to develop and maintain these areas on an annual basis. The second part of this proposal is for public works to prepare an estimate for a town employee to do the maintenance work on town landscape areas. I think this one definitely needs to be pursued because, you know, every study we've done, that the beautification and landscaping were part of it. So
And Candace, if you would report back to the committee, my idea here is, you know, the way y'all wrote your recommendation is always a town landscape. But I think to start with, to get going, is identify some critical areas. The entrances to town on K Avenue, Fort Fisher, and on Fort Fisher South. And some, you know, and let's check some key places and then see what it's going to cost to do those in a professional manner that you're looking at. And then let this thing grow incrementally. So that's the idea there.
Well, I think that the committee wanted to know whether you were thought it was more cost effective, efficient, et cetera, to go with town workers or with a professional company.
And the answer to that is, I mean, we asked Sonny at our meeting to come
but
up with those
numbers,
but we haven't gotten that yet. But if we also had, if we identified, okay, we want this area, this area, then we could go through a landscaper and say, okay, how much would it cost?
Mm-hmm.
And Sonny could say, okay, one guy can take care of that, working 20 hours a week, you know, so that would be his cost. So then we could compare those two numbers and make a decision. So, but that's definitely something I'd like to see us move forward.
Y'all can decide on which areas you think are promising.
Okay. I'll talk to that.
Kim, you want to take a slap?
What I did, if you go back to the original list that SLAP gave us, I picked, there were 25 of them, and I think there were 10 that I picked for no more reason than it's something that we could start on fairly quickly. And that's, there were some of the others, there were other issues that we're still working through. But if you look at these 10, there are things that are fairly straightforward. Some of them have very small costs attached to them. And so if we proceed with these, we can, while we're emphasizing these, we can continue on the rest of the 25 and work on those issues.
Can I skip ahead for just a second on this, to item number 8, Jeff?
Number 7 and 8.
7 and 8, excuse me.
7 and 8 both, I've worked at the same time as this other one.
Right.
I put this on the list. And I'm going to send an engineer down to check on the K Avenue production signal. And also, as far as the crowd is concerned, I talked to the engineer there also, and he's not very happy with the idea of putting an entrance on the K Avenue.
Well, and if you read what I wrote here, I don't think we'd have a chance of getting that approved. But if we make it clear that there is an entrance off the driveway that comes into to the police department,
and maybe widen what we've got, they may discover
that's his suggestion to keep it for you now.
I think in the past when we talked about this, it was clear that we didn't want cars coming in and out directly off of K Avenue. But if they come in, you know, on the driveway that exists now, and then go into the crowd.
And on that,
that's what they want. I mean, we look really hard at the fact that traffic is going to be blocked up, everything to the safety guards.
I think what we can do is concentrate on getting the corral where people actually use it.
I would like to make sure that the fire chief is in on these discussions, particularly with that one stretch of asphalt we got there. Would you like to go back to the rest of them, Jim?
Well, I don't know that it
would y'all like us to read the 10 we got here just for your information. Jimmy, you want to run that real quick?
Work with Public Works to get the parking spaces on Fort Fisher painted and clearly demarcated. Number 2, contact other town departments about narrowing K Avenue between 3rd and 4th and developing an action plan for completing this. Now, I'm not giving you all the details. These are the recommendations that came from SLAP. Tony's here. He can, if you have any questions.
He almost recommended us in depth on that.
3, and again, none of this is final. This is just, we have this long list of stuff, and they asked us to give them some guidance on what we wanted them to proceed with. So this is my list that I called. Prepare a plan for standardization of bike racks. Number 4, and these are not in any order of priority, move the handicap spaces at the beach accesses. Number 10, contact Farmers Energy to prepare a proposal for additional street lighting in the areas listed on their committee report and submit to council. Number six, work with the TDA Marketing Committee to develop a parking map as part of Fury Beach promotional literature for distribution to town hall, local business, and along the line. Number seven, work with, well, we've already talked about 7 and 8, that's the pedestrian crosswalk at K Avenue and Fort Fisher.
That'll have to be a budget item.
Yes, sir. Work with Public Works, number nine, work with Public Works to plan on a plan to improve the sidewalk on the south side of K Avenue and possible sidewalk construction on north side of K Avenue from the police fire driveway to Settlers Lane and perhaps further. And the rationale behind that is if we're going to have people parking at the corral, they need to be able to get down to the B1 district. We have an existing sidewalk on the north side of K Avenue, but if you've ever walked it, it's like a slalom course. So we need to look at what we can do to improve that. If we use parking in the corral, it would be nice to have a sidewalk across the front here on the town's property, at least to get people to Settlers Lane where they could cross to the sidewalk on the south side of K Avenue.
Which would be a big help for people with strollers or full nines or wheelchairs.
So again, these are things that, all I said, that Dean said earlier, these are all works in progress, but what we're picking tonight is the things we want to concentrate on and get moving on. And the 10th one is to advise the Oceanfront Park designer, which we're going to talk about tonight, to add 2 additional handicap parking spaces to the final design of the park. I think the committee had some concerns about that, and in their list, that was one of the things they included. As for P&Z, what we'd like to ask P&Z to do is to, and I worded this very carefully, present the council a 1-page summary of information presented to date related to the burying of overhead power lines, including estimated costs, technical issues, and names and contact information that Progress Energy employees might be able to advise council on the steps necessary for council to evaluate the present or future practicality of this project. I think in the past, y'all have had some presentations, and like when we had the work session, there were a lot of numbers batted around. There was a chart of some homeowners who had gotten an estimate for burying some transformers. There was a lineal foot price. Nobody knew if that was based on the whole town or if we could jump, use that for any X number of feet and stuff like that. So before we could really say, yes, we want to pursue this, we need to have that information in a concise form that we can all agree on. And also, we probably need to have at least a preliminary meeting again with some folks from Progress Energy. I think you told us your perception was that they weren't real keen on burying the power lines. It's not something that they think is a good idea. So, there may be some obstacles there that we have to overcome. But again, the idea here is to give these committees some specific directions. Do these things, get back to us so we can start making some progress on some of these things.
Yes, Tom.
Does any of the other commissioners have any other ideas other than this bullet? I have 25 items. There was no mention about doing parking on 6th or the I extension. How would you like me to proceed with these other items? Now, I went with Sonny, and he's getting prices of the different items that we were looking at, like making N a one-way, paving his car, and items like that. The N Street pedestrian crosswalks, that was something that I told Chuck about, that DOT had to give us their blessing on.
And Tony, I'm not saying that we're not going to pursue those things. But what right now, what we're trying to do is get a list that we can of things that we can start working on. I know, like, for example, the discussion about reversing the flow of traffic on N Avenue, that discussion could take another year. And so it's not saying that that discussion won't be ongoing, but what I was trying to do is pull some things from the various lists that we could actually get done in the next, 6 months or a year.
And I think when I read his suggestions, I didn't have any problem with them because these would be the least damaging, I think, right now until we can adopt a new budget.
I would count one of those missing peace signs, which we need to have before the summer, if possible, right?
A peace sign, parking sign?
Yes.
Okay,
and the reason that I didn't put that on there is because every time we have a discussion about signs, we hit a logjam between the beautification committee and the slap committee, and I don't know how we're going to resolve that.
That's up to the commissioners to say that we need peace signs, and you're going to have to say, yes, we have to buy them, and we're going to have to fight maybe later.
Well, if we buy them without agreeing what they look like, we're not going to buy them.
Peace sign is a normal, regular...
Is it going to be sandblasted? Is it going to be steel? Is it going to be...
That's what they are. They're aluminum.
You can buy them in any material that you want. You can get them to look like anything that you want, you know?
That's why I say we
keep having this discussion and we can't get past that.
Well, it's just like the parking. Do you want me to go through the parking on 6th Street High? Do you want us to get prices on concrete parking of bumpers? This list is okay, but it's not the whole list.
I know, but tell you, the whole idea was we were never going to... Does your committee have the resources and the time and the town staff to pursue all 25 items simultaneously?
I mean, if we can work on it, you have to give us the okay to give us money to do it.
Well,
that's the problem.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Well, that's what I mean. If you want parking, additional parking, you're going to have to put bumpers on 6th Street High or...
Okay.
You know, this just doesn't address any additional parking.
It doesn't, because for one thing, we don't have the numbers, like you said. So,
we're working on the numbers,
right?
If you do the 300 parking spots in those areas, maybe at $20 a concrete stopper and steel, you might be talking $6,000 just for that part.
Well, we still have to consider what the economic impact is going to be to the town to accommodate, in my opinion, the other 300 or 400 people, which basically be day trippers coming into Pier Beach. I mean, that's what always comes up in the back of my mind. If you build it, they're going to come.
Absolutely.
But the citizens and the taxpayers of this town won't put the bill to let those people come down and park.
We're also looking at East Park, paving it and putting in additional lighting and stuff like that. The other part here that has using the additional street lighting. The additional street lighting that we were talking about would be on 6th, I, and East Park. So, if you don't give us the okay to do the parking, then putting additional lighting in those areas.
I disagree. I absolutely disagree with that. I think that we can improve the lighting at East Park and on 6th without doing it. I mean, it doesn't have to be. In other words, I don't think we have to do everything in order to start doing something. These are all things that came out of how many different studies that we've had and that great analysis that y'all did of all the studies. So you came up with 25 items, and what we're trying to do is some of these that we can get finished. Now, you say pay Jody's part, but that's a big deal, don't you? I mean, when you start putting impervious surface down, when we start, we're going to have to go through a bunch of hoops over at Sunny Point and everything like that. And I'm not, if you look on the back, second page of my memo, I wasn't saying that we were dropping anything off of any list. These are things that we can see some progress on. And I think one of the complaints that we had, and certainly it came out in that work session, was that the committee felt like they weren't getting any direction from council about which things to be pursuing right now and trying to accomplish. I'd love for y'all to come back with budgets on all these other 15 things
we're working on.
Okay, they will. But in the meantime, the 10 things that I've identified, I don't think are going to have a significant budget impact. And can you think that we could accomplish some of these, we could probably accomplish before the tourist season gets in full swing. And that's what we're trying to do.
As far as maybe a question,
yes, I don't see what's wrong with starting somewhere. You've got to start and concentrate somewhere. And keep in mind that all these things cost money. Not only your money, but all the citizens of Tree Beach's money. Would you like more taxes?
Yes.
Oh, you would like to have the taxes?
So if you want to keep up the way you like to live in Kiri Beach, and you have to raise the taxes, sometimes you have to. If you like the way you're living, and if you want things, you might have to sacrifice.
And then what are we going to do with all the people on fixed incomes that have worked their whole lives to live here and become taxed out of their existence?
I'm sitting down now.
Tell me before you sit down, under item 12, under all this, we're going to discuss briefly the tennis courts over at Peaks Park, and with that discussion, we also may hit on, and will not, that talk about putting a new set of tee lights in the center of the court. Thank you. Any other discussion? Mr. Rod?
I know you want KNC to do a problem.
Yes, sir.
We always get very confused. We were told to look at restudies. We've had restudies. We still don't have a vision for the town. I mean, that's something that we talked about in the workshop. And we can do all of these things. We can bury power lines. But if there's not a plan that's implemented, we kind of spend our wheels. GNC has formed a zoning, it's overlay district, it's all of these things, but there's also a concept. We have two studies, well, we have three, that are supposed to be master plans for the town. But we don't have one actual plan. And it doesn't have to be a plan that the town's going to look like this, but it has to be a direction. And right now, that's what PNC keeps going back, but we don't have a direction. We can talk about power lines, and we can do all that light work, but there's studies, and there needs to be a vision for us to move forward. So it may not happen today, and we have to take baby steps to get there, but it's a plan for the town. That's kind of what, you know, credit, he's supposed to be emailing you guys, and I don't know why you don't get that in communication, but that's what we talk about at PNC.
Well, let's sort of take the example that you gave, form-based planning. When do you think that y'all will have an ordinance, a draft ordinance for the council to review?
Actually, there is a workshop on form-based planning coming up on the 23rd of this month, and almost all of you are going to attend. But P&D doesn't have any real direction or any idea of the vision of the council for its following. And that's what
How does that relate to an ordinance for form-based planning?
Well, actually, I think in form-based planning, there is, you have to have some type of vision.
That's right. You got to have some goal.
And that's all part of it. Okay? So when we were told to review these studies and to implement the studies, well, to be implementing the study, implementing the master plan, it includes parking and beautification and all those things, but those studies include a lot of zoning. So,
well, it's my understanding or my memory that I thought one of the priorities was the bearing of power lines, and that would encompass B1. I mean, that's how I remember it. That was one of the things that...
That's a part of it. That's probably the most... expensive thing that we could even.
And that's the thing.
What happened to the budget? What happened to the budget? Which way we're going? I mean, that's what the couple of us. We're taking on us. Took us months to get to this point, and I'm going to come and talk to us. And I agree, we should follow up and see if it even is feasible.
I think that's where I'm trying to go, is that may be something we cross off the list.
Right.
It has been on so many lists and so many people have talked about it and said this is something that we really want for the county. But if the cost is going to be $20 or $30 million and the town's going to have to bear that whole cost itself, then I think a lot of people will say, well, maybe not.
Well, then we have to readjust that vision of what the town's going to end up. Well,
y'all have been charged to do was actually get us some raw data on that, and let's decide if to move forward or cross it off. Because P&Z, the meeting that you had with the representative from Progress Energy, I think he tried to throw up every stumbling block he could as to not adopt it, but it's been on everybody's minds long enough that I personally would hope that y'all would actually, you know.
We're not saying that we're not pursuing it. We do want to.
That's one of the priorities I would like to see you do.
So I think ultimately, I think the whole town needs a vision. That's my thought.
Yes, you.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. It's a great conversation. I share Alan's frustration here a little bit. You know, from, and I'm not even going about telling anybody anything that you don't already know, but when you set up a plan, you don't start with your tactics, and you don't start with your strategies, you start with your goal. And I think that's what Alan's asking for here for planning and zoning. What's the goal? What do you want planning and zoning to do? What do you want Tony's committee to do, et cetera? I think that's always been a bit of the frustration of all the committees, is they're never quite sure, are they working on tactics, strategies, or do they understand the goal, which then feeds the strategies and then the tactics of completion of the job.
And I thought that's pretty much what was laid out in the P&Z suggestion here.
I want to say something.
Yes.
Just listening to all of this, it sounds like there's a lot of goals set forth. And this is good, this is a start, but before you can go forward with any project, you have to get a cost. If you build a house, you've got to get a cost estimate first. So this, to me, is the first step with any of the goals that, any of the projects that are set forward in any of these committees.
They don't have any idea of what we would like the direction of the planning and zoning to follow. I mean, do we want them to use water-based? Do we want them to use other types of planning?
We need to
accept the responsibility that we have and let them know what
your number one suggestion is in there. Because you're the liaison and you're going to work with what was your number one suggestion to be on what would be?
My number one suggestion would be for all of us to get together and brainstorm and find out what we as a council would like our town, our B1 business district, to start looking like.
Let's cut to the chase. We had that brainstorming session. We had that brainstorming session on March 3rd, I think it was. All of these committees, we took the three studies that Alan referred to. We have three different studies that have been done years apart. The SLAP committee did a wonderful job going through there and listing all these different things that these reports and studies recommended. All of these studies had all these different things that were, you know, trying to make QEH more attractive, livable town.
Okay, can we put that in a statement?
It's in statements everywhere. But here, I think I'm solid. My motion is for purposes of planning and discussion, it is the intent of the QEH Town Council that we use the fine study, otherwise known as the Sawyer study, as the basis for planning, and that we ask the committee to submit recommendations from the study to pursue these items listed in this memo as their first order of business, consistent with the Sawyer study.
Thank you.
Do you second that motion?
I second that motion. That gives them some direction.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, you have your marching orders.
Thank you. So that's all we're going to use this for. We're not using anything else.
You're free to use anything, but y'all want it. The studies are remarkably similar. So, and the one that I, in my personal opinion, the Sawyer study was the one that was most pertinent and most original and addressed the most issues. And that, to me, it is the best one to use as a basis of plan. Y'all can refer to all the other studies. You can use, you know, Landsat, you can use NASA, you can use whatever you want. But for purposes of direction, that's the direction we're heading for.
Well,
look at my lawn.
That's my motion. You got a second? We both agree.
And we all unanimously approve this.
Have you
ever said, here we go?
I'm item number 500, and you've got a member of the budget advisory committee here to read your mission statement.
No, there's not. And I, mission statement, we didn't have it last month, and I didn't get included in the package. This one, so I made copies of it.
Okay.
This is what the committee adopted in its first meeting.
This is exactly what they adopted for. Any discussion? Has everyone got a copy out there? Did y'all log this red?
Yes, I'd like to move that the council approve the mission statement on the citizens' budget and finance advisory committee. Who has a question? Anybody have a question? Any questions up here, Mayor?
No, sir.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
I lost my agenda, and I just realized we went past what I was going to make a comment.
Okay, would you like? Yes, you have permission to make a backtrack comment. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, my backtrack. One of the items on the beautification committee's request list or whatever was that some money be in charge of all the signs, not making up the wording of the signs, but to say, like, if you're going to have a post, all the posts should be looking like the one, like the design that's out there in the waiting room. If you wanted to do something to save money real quick, you could tell Public Works not to paint the signposts, because one of the items that was on the list from the Ruth Arnold Graphics and Signs proposal that was accepted by council was that we not have white painted signposts, that we have regular old, you know, wood looking signposts with some kind of pickle in the mineral something or other.
Are you not going to save any money because that pickle is just as expensive as
no, but for right now,
right.
If you more signs are going up all the time.
So you would like to make sure any signs
if
go forward and follow the adoption that you made for the pickling of the post?
There's no point in taking the posts and painting them if then you can't even use the post anymore because it doesn't fit with the design that we paid $750 to get. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So if you would like Public Works to be instructed by council to adopt pickling of any signs that will
put the post up.
Don't pay no point.
Free.
She said don't let Public Works lay them down natural. Okay.
Just go natural. Cost nothing. Just stick them up there. But also, especially on Atlantic Avenue, they're supposed to be putting signs on the boards instead of on posts. But now we're getting more signs on boards.
Posts.
Okay. At any rate, just to save some money, if we're going to put the post up, don't paint.
All right, it's yours. Okay. Would you like to concern that?
And so who is going to be, he's talking about technique, voting as to who is in charge of science, who the science are.
Somebody has to be.
I think the GED is responsible for the sign ordinance that Barry should be.
That makes sense to me. All in favor, signal say aye.
Assignments within Town Hall. At our last meeting, we adopted a job description finance officer and town clerk, and because it represented a significant increase in responsibilities and pay, we decided to advertise for those positions. We set a deadline of April 16th for receiving applications, and we have received 50. Number of applications, and so tonight we need to decide how to proceed with processing those applications and where to go from there. And that's where we are, and the personnel officer, Chuck, has been dealing with it so far, so
do you have a suggestion, Mr. Personnel Officer?
Well, what we have been doing is about 55. Have come in. All five councilmen have reviewed them. Have marked them where they want them to be interviewed or not. Out of those that have been interviewed, I suggested that from the finance, that of course Tim and I do the interviewing. And on the clerk, that Dee and I will do the interviewing. Bringing that total down hopefully to a manageable two or three that the council then can vote on as to the final selection.
So the council would have an opportunity to interview the final three?
Yes.
Yes. So it would be two council members that sort of winnow down from the ones that the council is already reviewed. So like the ones we've all looked at, if all of us thought that person was worthy of contacting y'all, will contact them and do a further evaluation and then narrow it down
to y'all.
Well, whoever we decide.
I would call a suggestion of the personnel officer.
I just want to make sure I understand how it's going to work.
But right now we have it down to 20 out of 55.
Okay. So we'll narrow it down to say 6 or 8 that the full council would interview.
Right.
Okay. I didn't want anybody to have the impression that two council members were going to
vote. No, not the state. No, I said they bring down the 3 or 4 of whatever the mandatory, and then we would have all 5 councilmen interview and select. I think that's.
Do you make name as motion?
Certainly.
Can I say it?
Second.
Now we need to set a date to try it out.
Well, we need to set a number, no. Chuck said 3 or 4. Tim said 5 or 6.
It would depend on the application
position.
And also you may have 5 on one, or on 2 on the other. Something like that. So you can't go 7 on
that. Do we, are you think we're in a position to set a date when we should have this accomplished? And that was all the discretion of when they can show up for interviews, but I mean, do we need a target date? Interview, and they will bring that. All right, do I have a second as much?
I think he needs to state the motion fully.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll
get it in the record.
She didn't get that?
I did not get that.
We are using the 5 councilmen to review all applications.
Which
that has been done.
Alley 55, they have come down to 20. Now, 3020, Dean and I on clerks, Tim and I on finance. We'll further interview, select by phone, and try to get that down to a 3 or 4 or 5 per position. At that point, we'll bring it back to the council. The council will interview those applicants for a final selection. That's my motion.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Judge. Anything else, Mr. Court?
No, sir.
Item number 7. Construction schedule.
I think this has been on the agenda for 3 months, I think. And I think what we're trying to remind everybody is that we have a looming deadline for starting construction on the stormwater project at Oceanfront Park. And we think we have a budget based on the grant that we've been awarded. But I don't, I mean, it looks to me like we're getting perilously close on this. If we have to start construction by October, and I talked to Jim this afternoon, and he was having a meeting with engineering services, but I didn't hear back from him after that. Do you know?
We have just a contract tonight for review for the construction administration. But no, last time I talked to Jim today, in all seriousness, he was for taking the bill way down.
Okay. Well, like I say, it worries me that we're this far along, and it seems to me like it would be a pretty aggressive schedule at this point to have the design, the bidding, the design process, the bidding process, and then construction start by October.
What's stormwater?
If that was covered by the grant.
Yeah, stormwater.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was further along than I thought the engineering was already.
We signed a contract with them for that.
Yeah.
Tonight on the agenda will be the agreement for engineering services for the construction administration.
Well, we had the same discussion last month, and I asked when we would have a project scheduled, and we don't have it yet.
The contract we're looking at tonight, engineer will put up preliminary investigation, prepare preliminary drawings, preliminary itemization list of probable construction costs. So I think that kind of falls a step with what we have on the agenda tonight. If we're going to move forward, that this is going to.
So this is in addition to the contract that we approved for the actual design of the stormwater?
I think we have three things going here, and one of them is our progress, and that's part of the stormwater. The second one is the overall overseeing of the project, and the third is the architect.
And I don't want to be a pain in the neck about this, but I don't think until we have a schedule of when things are going to happen, we can say that something is in progress.
Eric, help me out here, buddy. I agree, but my understanding was there was an issue with Reuters and right now until council could decide whether we were going to even be in the ballgame. So that may not be in.
But that doesn't apply to the stormwater exception.
Yes, it does.
Yes, sir.
See, it sounds to me like there's a glitch here.
If you don't know your impervious area and the materials, et cetera, you can't design the sport. Engineering services can do stormwater.
They need a footprint. They need a.
Well, I mean, personally, I think that footprint issue has gotten a little. You and I can come up with.
I think the footprint issue is they say go with that.
Yeah.
And I thought the engineering services will start work on their design. Yeah. But they are. I don't know where we stand on the Lewis right now issue.
That's not that long ago.
It looks like that needs to be number one. They need to talk about engineering services.
Well, I guess I'm confused about what Oceanfront Park Development Construction Administration is as opposed to the contract that we've already given them for the stormwater.
I think the purpose of that was to, if I can speak up, my knowledge was trying to take some of the stuff off the wood that's around now, see their calls down, and then the engineering services take the Lizards and Avenel plan and supervise the construction of the project.
Not to double.
You know, we're putting this around now, we'll provide the plan, and then engineering services will move with it.
That's correct.
Other than the architect period, all the way to completion.
But, again, I mean, there is in this Withers and Ravenel contract construction administration $7,500.
Our committee will not send either of the proposals.
If you look at the total of the two items that are listed under construction administration.
They broke it down in others, so we agreed certified ounces only.
Yeah, but I thought we were going back and eliminating some of that that we thought was due.
Well, that's one of the, mainly in terms of the diet of the rental thing, because that was the rivers and Ravenel thing, is, you know, all they discussed, and they made the wrong sequence there. Would you like to go to item 9, table item 8, so we're number 9 discussion?
Construction, process, main, vendor, specs, life plan, construction administration, and then some grant administration as well.
Because that's the reason the grant administration is in there, is it's got to work hand in hand with all the different grants that you've got going on.
I believe the copy you guys have, Jim had asked us to go back and remind the numbers, and I think the most up-to-date copy that you guys have in front of you does not have the architect's fee broken out separate from ours. We thought, based on our discussions with Chuck and you, Mayor, and Jim, that it would be best to retain the architect that performed the conceptual buildings program plan last year when Michelle submitted for the part of grant. And the number we came went back with was, I believe, $79,500 to design the building. The remaining $59,000 would be for site design, Atlantic Avenue roadway redesign, surveying, geotechnical investigation, and camera permits. If it's the council's wishes to go with a different architectural firm to perform the architectural services, then that's the council's desire. You guys have the building program and the conceptual design in place.
Right.
If it's the desire to go and pursue another architect, we have no partner with that.
But the preliminary price I got from the architect that I worked with at the time was $6,000
or
less. For just the architectural?
And to clarify, ES, or Engineering Services, they can't get started until we start some of the site work. Talking about the impervious, Brian Cox needs to know where the roof leaders on the building are going to be located. So there's a pretty significant amount of work that needs to go into both the building and the site before we can give any of our impervious numbers to Brian to design a stormwater system. We talked to Jim about breaking out these contracts separately so that we could phase it, but it just makes more sense to include everything in one contract so you're not going back and digging up asphalt and digging up earth after the stormwater system's already been in place to start the park improvements and the Atlantic Avenue.
May I ask a question?
Yes,
what if we wanted to put the thing, go through the stormwater, and we said stop? Yes.
Stop the stormwater?
Until we got monies to build the main portion.
Well, actually, the stormwater is dependent upon the design. The ultimate.
That's what I'm saying. You got to do the design. I mean, that's got to be done.
That's correct. Right. Because you have to know, even if the footprint changes. I mean, since it's a camel permit, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, my our problem, you know, is skateboard. We got to take the time out on the stormwater grant.
But I think
we don't want to lose it.
That's right.
Tim, I think you're correct in that we're in trouble as far as time, but it's not even there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm out there worried. And I'm still, I admit, my parents gave up on me at an early age, so I don't understand things real clearly, but I'm still trying to figure out where,
where making the service stops.
I guess my fundamental question is this $148,000 that we're going to pay to Withers and Ravenel.
The fee's been lower since then. I'm not sure if Jim has given you.
132, I think.
134, 135.
I'm sorry, what I've got, what was in my agenda package that I'm being asked to vote on, said $148,000.
Okay.
So I
apologize. I emailed the up to date
contract. What is the amount of the grant that we have?
The stormwater grant is, I believe, $750,000, and the part of the grant was $456,000, with a match of $456,000. At least you guys can.
Stormwater is $204,000, and we have $436,000 for development and $300,000 for development.
I should have probably talked to you in more detail about this stuff. You know, we had addressed all this one time before. But all of these three contracts, the one that we've already approved and the two that y'all want us to approve tonight, are within that
amount of the grants and
take it back.
Otherwise, where did it come from? You know?
I think it would be covered by the grants, yes, but what's left?
I know, that's one time we had a spreadsheet, I think it was with that first thing, and I had to go back up.
Mary, you had a suggestion?
Well, sounds to me as though we don't have the right price here.
I hate to do this, but it's late, and we really need to see them. What would y'all think about tabling these two items and then continuing the meeting sometime? Are y'all coming out of Raleigh or Withers and Ramel office here?
Wilmington and Raleigh tonight.
Okay. I understand we all still got in this office.
There's four in this office.
I just have a hard time voting on tonight because I'm confused.
The numbers in here are too out of balance.
I apologize. I probably should have started working on this a month ago. Oh, we did.
So the contract you have the architecture broke out separately?
Yes, sir. That's broken out at $80,000 and change.
And that person I did that. I didn't feel comfortable loving the mayor's under ours.
But see, I don't mean to be nitpicky, but I'm really concerned about duplication here. And I know that, you know, engineering services going to have to do some geotechnical stuff. Y'all have geotechnical in here.
Actually, sorry to interrupt, but I spoke with Brian on the phone when we were amending the contract for Jim's request, and he's looking to us to perform the surveying and the geotech and then provide that information to him.
Well, I thought this contract said that everyone knew the points and everything. I think times when you put stakes around, that's why I couldn't understand some of the double whammy here. I mean, you know, in business, I pay someone to just, stay out. I'm not going to pay somebody else to come back and do the same thing.
What?
I think what you're saying is Brian and they were trying to work out
until it's worked out, we don't need to vote on it.
Like I said, my suggestion would be to table this and continue this meeting to a time when we can have Jim here and maybe get y'all by telephone and we get Brian.
Just any time.
I think that's what needs to happen.
But again, what I'd like to do is see if we can do this tomorrow because, we don't want to be having the same conversation next month. But
we don't continue this meeting until tomorrow? So it's about over? Yes.
What kind of
any problems with that?
I'll say that.
Or is that we can continue to meet.
And we really need to lay it out and point counterpoint the same way.
Unfortunately, Jim has been the contact person.
Right. So I think we should be all parties.
We'll be the same chair again, but we'll meet at his house.
What when can you meet? Or Thursday?
Thursday might be better for me. Okay. And I don't know about the problem is Jim. Is he going to need to find out whether he's going to be able to come in here?
But he just didn't want to sit here for 4 hours tonight with his legs in a bad position. But I mean, he was in kind of all the way, wasn't he?
No,
well, because he was meeting with somebody. He told me that he was.
Oh, I didn't see
him. He didn't hear.
I didn't see him.
Okay. Huh.
Thursday.
What time? You gentlemen be available, and we'll have engineering services.
Or we can call them. I mean, we can do a conference.
We can do a conference call.
My point is we're getting ready to build a building, which is a lot fancier than what we're building down here.
But I think a lot of that is like. I think that's another thing we decided is the building program hasn't even been determined yet. So before Trump would have any design you get on the building for the architects, I think what you guys want to be in the building needs to be decided as well.
got a whole HVAC system he's including his cost, and I'm not even sure it's going to be anything in that pavilion that would be air conditioning. So that may reduce his price a significant amount as well.
And several things like that. The public rooms, the restrooms, kitchenette, I certainly don't see using anything but some of those Mitsubishi through the wall units because of the infrequency it's going to be used.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware that there was a kitchenette now added to the pavilion center.
I wish
What about, Jim and I have the sewer authority meeting at 2. So what if we decide if we continue this meeting until, say, either 12:30 Thursday and try to get finished by 2, or have it at, say, 3:30 on Thursday?
You need to check your AC
there. I'm looking now, and that's the only thing is the sewer authority. Yeah, that's good.
Would you have a problem with it?
12:30 will probably be best.
12:30. Thursday,
one
better than Friday, or?
We don't know. This is a continuation of the calendar meeting, so we need to tie it up.
Friday is your form-based workshop.
Yes.
Friday's what?
Form-based workshop.
That, and this weekend we've got a major to do down here in town.
So it's 30
days,
about
30 years. Not all days, little days. So we're going to be on me all day.
Well, my motion, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we table items 7, 8, and 9, and that at the end of this meeting, we vote to continue the meeting until 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, April 22nd. Here at Town Hall for the purpose of considering those three items.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Did I cover everything?
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And will you call Jim? And tell him he doesn't have a choice, he has to be here.
And they have any fields?
Twelve thirty.
And the brain song. Thank you,
General.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. No problem. And
yes,
they will be present as well.
You
want to hear it?
Or
be a conference call.
I'm sure we can have it here.
Okay.
Because I think we got a check. Or something. Item number 10, discussion and consideration of the workplace violence policy.
I don't know how long you've gone on that.
Well, you're a pretty violent person, man.
I think in one of our previous meetings, Commissioner Newman submitted a draft of the workplace violence policy and program for the town of Perry Beach. We postponed the document at that time until the attorney could look at how it would fit in with our existing policies and procedures, and also add some language broadening the application of this and the coverage. And Jim came back with a revised draft, which you all have a copy of. I talked with him this afternoon. The basic language is agreeable to me and made the changes that I was concerned about. There are some things that if we adopt this policy tonight, we will still have to work on, and those are listed on pages 4 and 5. So those things will follow upon the adoption of this policy.
And there's certain committees that we set up and some.
So I would make a motion that we adopt this policy and ask Mayor Pro Tem Keener as personnel officer and Commissioner Newman to not necessarily do all of these things, but make sure that they're followed up on.
We're about halfway down.
We're talking about, but like I said, we just need to have somebody to make sure we do the follow-up.
He can do it while he's in his wheelchair.
That's my motion.
Can I say it?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item number 11. Gentlemen, we get a little bit of news this week. Our went into our negotiations with Seymour Johnson Air Force Base pertaining to the water hookups down here at Fort Fisher. They linked first, and they have agreed to the original user fee of $184,062.50. The attorney has reviewed the contract. Sunday night, we're going to have the contract. They would like us back as soon as possible because they are in the process of laying their part of the water lines. I assume everybody's ready. Any discussion?
So what you're asking us to do tonight is to approve the contract.
Yes, sir.
And approve the expenditure of $30,000 of upfront money for the tax.
In order to the tap, right. And they had originally tried to cut our their check for us to make $130,000 anyway. That's all the area ways and agreed to the original price that Public Works had worked out for the scheduled tap fees that the town normally charges.
Right.
Mr. Attorney, any comment?
No. The money that is jump on it.
Well, we need to, yeah. I have a motion to adopt the contract with Seymour Johnson Air Force Base.
I second. Oh, well, and authorize the expenditure.
And authorize the expenditure.
From the water and sewer fund?
Certainly, yes, sir.
I second.
Sonny thinks it's going to probably be about $27,000. That's why we've got $25,230 in there.
Okay.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Will you get that separate side? Tennis court estimate. We still have, I think, $115,000 left in our park fund monies. And our tennis courts have deteriorated to the point that they can no longer be repaired. They're going to have to be replaced. And trying to touch base with what Tommy brought up. We have two contracts here, one from John, what's the boy's name?
John McCann.
John McCann with
Atlanta Beach Tennis Court, please.
And we have one with Court 1. Court 1 contract is about $10,000 higher. The Outer Banks contract has got a caveat in there that the town furnishes liability insurance, which I don't agree to. I've seen both of their work, and this will be aware. If you read the contract, it's completely removing the tennis courts we have now, which have large cracks, and putting out a new 6-inch sub-base. And apparel is going to give us, and replacing some of the fence that we lost in the hurricane when they had the tennis curtains, I guess would be a good word for it, tied on, and they actually snapped the poles off. All that's included in this. What's not included is probably, talking to Aaron, another $2,000 that the town would have to apply for as part of this from our Parks and Rec monies. This is agreeable with the Parks and Rec Committee. And I would make a motion that we adopt the first contract with the stipulation that he furnishes on liability insurance. Our banks.
I'll second it, kid. But I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The money is coming from the parks and bonds?
Yes, and that means that this may have to be delayed after the new budget is adopted because. We'll go over this again. We have to, A, get it approved, which I talked to Parks and Rec, and they don't have a problem with. B, we have to pay for it, and then the money is refunded to us. And it's probably, by the time it's paid for, we get the receipts to them, and the money's turned around in maybe 90 days. So you've got a 90-day window that we're going to be out of $45,000.
I thought Sonny had money in his budget already.
No, he does not. He has money in his budget for maintenance, but they're to the point now they cannot be. Okay.
So could we amend the motion to say that we approve entering into a contract with these folks, condition their bond, getting the funding of
we get in the good parts and part against them.
And this will also have, besides getting approved, Jim, it also has to be in conjunction when there are no scheduled tennis lessons over there. But all that we can work out. We're going to miss the drop dead date for keeping this price if you don't move ahead. But, anyway, so have a second.
Is this the approval of the Outer Banks contract?
Yes.
All right.
With
the stipulation, your liability insurance.
With the stipulation, he provides his own liability insurance. And if you can't, you know, if we have to insure, then that would be deducted from his contract money. Because the other company provided their own liability insurance.
Isn't that what they're saying here in section 16?
Yeah, the town's supposed to share, but that's if they're entering into a contract, I don't think we need to be taking care of their insurance. He thinks the $2,000 for removing all the asphalt money well spent, and $2,500 for a pinch removal and all the others, they would be responsible for. So, out of the two, yeah, sure, up to y'all. I think we can move ahead with Outer Banks with stipulation that they provide on liability.
That's going to be approved
as part of a legitimate parks and recreation expenditure from the United States.
I'm ready.
All in favor, single by saying aye. Opposed? John, give him a call tomorrow if you would, okay? Tell him that that stipulation's in there if he wants to do it, if not, we'll negotiate.
Well, this case is going to drop. Are you going to write up
Andy will write a letter. Andy needs to redraft the contract that he sent, and then I'll call the Park and Rec with new numbers and see if it'll be approved.
Oh, where are we looking at on the start date on that?
You're going to have to coordinate that with the Park and Rec for me.
So you're going to have to
coordinate that with the Park and Rec for me. So you're going to
have to
What we have? Item 13, Casey, I'm going to throw this one to you. This is a debt set off program. And Barry, you and Chuck, well, no, you were here. Tim, you and Chuck were not here, but the City Council of October of last year thought we'd entered into an agreement with the state of North Carolina that any debts occurred. Parking tickets, fines that John would have to be satisfied to the state before you could get your driver's license. It was passed unanimously, and for some reason, since October, it's languished somewhere in a box. Jennifer wanted to make sure that the new council was good with this before she submitted the paperwork. And like I said, it's already been voted on, but she would like the council's blessing on it before she moves forward. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
So moved. Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Casey, if you'll instruct Mrs. Jennifer to send her memo in office to new business. Okay, y'all will be Mandy and Andy, but they can give it a break.
I hear you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Manning. What's his name?
Ms. Clerk found it for me somehow, and it's not been put in our code.
That's one of those Nancy Avery.
What I had to do was the actual date of the regular meeting, supposedly there was a public hearing that took place that day. There are no minutes for that hearing. Although the very next day when the meeting was continued, the council made mention of it and acted upon this ordinance. Well, if you want me to find the actual ordinance where it was signed, there is no such ordinance that was signed. However, Nancy Avery has what he has there that was sent off to Mutico to be codified. Yet and again, the codification obviously didn't go through because it's not in our code of ordinance book. So there's holes all in it. There is no connecting dots that connects anything. There's no minutes, there's no signed ordinance, there's just that.
So we don't have an ordinance, is what you're saying?
It was approved, but there's no signed ordinance. There's just what she sent.
The mayor at that time never signed the ordinance. She was flowing, used it once.
It may have been.
It's just I can't find it. And I actually went through the paper minutes and the paper ordinances, and I couldn't even find
this,
it.
This was actually when you were married.
Yes, sir. And I remember doing it. And I kept copies of most things I signed in minutes, and I may be able to recreate the crime. But for our particular purposes tonight, and I'm just thinking out loud here, is there any way that we can call a special meeting to P&Z?
Sure.
And ask them guys to review this and get it to us? And,
yeah.
Okay.
The earliest date, you would have to have 48-hour notice for a special meeting. So the earliest date would be Friday.
Yeah.
There is a Form A thing that's going on, so yeah. Monday would be an available date, or Wednesday, because there's Board of Adjustments on Tuesday.
What's the best way to do it? Monday, now, does that do it?
Well,
I'm available anytime. Jim Shooter is probably available anytime. I don't know
about the
Greg. I'll get a full...
Well, then, and she'll be there. Well, I mean, I
think
she'll be.
And
we'll be on it
until
Wednesday.
That's right.
Also,
go to
the
Wednesday.
When M is on the board.
Basically, the big guy is standing still right now, anyway, because they just filed for a camera permit not 2 days ago. And so they've got at least 15 days before I'm going to issue that camera permit.
Right. But if we have to have P&Z report to us. We're going to have to figure out a way for us to meet unless we go ahead and schedule a public hearing, which we need 10 days for that. Mm-hmm. So if we
wait. When do you guys continue with this meeting? What's that meeting?
Thursday at 12:30.
Which we need 48. Yeah,
right. Yes, sir. You can ask me.
Well, why don't you just do this? Put this item, continue it for your Thursday meeting, and then Thursday you can continue it again until such time as you can act on.
And you can wait for people to call her and see what's her mistake after she advertises 48 hours. I think the big issue is going to be well, there's going to be a few issues. It's Jim's health, for one, because he was coming tonight and David Gidwell. And Craig, who was probably busier than all of us. Craig's sick, too?
He's been working
out. You know, he's out of town.
Yes.
So that's most of the issues. I think it's easy to get me. Jim here, as long as Tim is not sophomore, we could have three. You know, we could get three or four.
Well, if we shoot for a week from tomorrow, that would give you a couple of days for 48-hour notice. And we could check tomorrow if we need to get together. Kyle, you can work with that?
Let's say a week from tomorrow.
It's Tuesday. Bring it up.
Wednesday.
A week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow. Tuesday, this Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm a better one.
Do you want me to just do time to be determined? If I'm talking to everybody? Because we'll have to have three. I mean, Ann will be on the committee at that point, so.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, it could be done with me, Ann, and if other people can't make it, it could be me, Ann.
I think he's comfortable with Wednesday, aren't you? No.
Okay. I'm comfortable with it. I'm in.
Okay.
Can you do it? Let's see. Can you call Jen and Ann and make sure it's, and then let her know if it's wrong?
Yeah, you have to give me all the phone numbers.
I got it.
Okay, Jen, can I make a motion to call a special meeting? No, to advertise for a special meeting at PNC Wednesday, Alan. What time?
Is there any way she can just figure that out tomorrow?
Yeah, the advertising.
Of course, you won't have to run the advertisement until Thursday.
Okay, so you will call her for an extra time and she can process that. So the motion will just be a time to determine that. That's what. Do I have a second?
Second.
Can you email that to me? And I'm afraid to say that. Hey, did you get us ready?
Who motioned?
I motioned.
Very second.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
So then what we'll do as far as the council is, we'll, at our Thursday meeting, we'll decide when to continue again.
Okay.
And then we can also decide when to schedule a public hearing.
Okay.
Okay.
Item number three. Discussion and consideration of the problem resolution. Item number one is a viewpoint.
Yeah.
So that'll have to be continued. They will not accept us into the OTEB fund without a minimum of $100,000. And right now we have $49,000 for that too. So that will have to be budgeted when we not problem. We're not skip to that point. So we'll table that. What's your pleasure, guys? Table it. Yes, anyway.
Table.
Okay. B. Workplace balance. Supporting the president of IRC.
Hold on a second. Where are we going?
Now there's a resolution.
We adopted the policy. You adopted the policy. Now you adopted the resolution.
That's why when we adopted our personnel policy, we did it by resolution. So this would be adopted.
We had a resolution on here. That would have been helpful.
That's what it says. Because discussion and consideration of the following resolution. At the top.
Okay. I'm just going down the line.
Sorry.
Okay, workplace box. Is there a priority resolution to send your packet?
Why don't you read this for the public
panel?
There's nobody here.
No, I'm going to read it. Resolution by the town council of the town of Fury Beach, workplace violence. That it be resolved by the town commission of Fury Beach. That it is the intent of the town council of Fury Beach to provide a workplace for town employees that is free from violence by establishing preventative measures, holding proprietors of violence accountable, and by providing assistance and support to victims. That it be further resolved by the town commission of Fury Beach that this policy is intended to be incorporated with the town of Fury Beach personnel policy, which was created to establish a fair, equal system of personnel administration for all employees of the town. Committing violent acts, whether on duty or off duty,
has the potential to impact an employee's ability to perform their job. It is intended that all useful management tools be employed to accomplish the dual purpose of reducing the effort's violence on business and providing consequences to those who perpetrate violence.
John would like to read it again.
Listen, I'm surprised that y'all have such little sense of irony.
This all works in confirmation. Nothing to hear about the mayor, so I'm ready to vote on it.
I move we adopt the resolution.
You commissioners better straighten up. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's approved.
Very like that, didn't you? Okay. Item C.
I think I'm too subtle on that.
Jim Dugan.
He is our representative to the
MPO.
On the MPO, and they are pushing this.
Yeah.
And with the way the budget is set and everything, like I said, it's not
built in my lifetime.
Mayor Fudge, 35 years from now, Mayor Fudge is totally against this. He wants them to explore some of the gray areas of this.
This is somewhat germane to this, but it goes back to the presentation from the MPO earlier this evening. Y'all won't believe how much grief we caught at one of the candidate forums for doubting that Dow Road was going to be widened. I mean, it was presented that it was in the transportation improvement plan, it had been funded, and it's going to happen. And it's going to happen. And we said,
what, the two priority, number two priority?
I mean, the way they talked about it,
you talk about a candidate forum where I had a opponent running against me, that opponent,
and it was like, this thing is happening. I don't know what they said, look, you know, they've been talking about that for years. Do you see the motor graders out there don't believe it? And people just booed at us and said, no, you're just skeptical just because it happened. So then tonight when I looked in there and I saw that it was number 9 on the list,
and it's
not scheduled until 2016.
In between 2016 and 2025.
That's right.
Excuse me, you're right. There's a 9-year span.
Okay, fellas.
I would like to make a motion that we not adopt either Resolution C or Resolution D.
Do I have a second, sir? All in favor, should I say aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, item 4, which is a...
Be nice.
Item 4, discussion and consideration of the following budget amendments. Tim, we'll just explain to you that the workers' compensation office showed that they have been underfunded. I'm hearing grumblings from the police department and public works that there's also maybe underfunded. Something's not bouncing up right there.
Well, but it looks like we're covering the water and sewer reserve fund and the general fund reserve for. It doesn't say, you know, where these workers come, you know, where it's going. I'm assuming that the first one is going to employees of the water, sewer, and reserve fund, and then everybody else is covered by the 18,000.
Well, we certainly hope that's the case, but I'm not real optimistic. This is going to be all we have to move around.
Okay, well, we'll just need to find that out.
Yes, sir. You'll have a motion to...
So moved.
Second.
To what?
To approve the final modification of the budget amendment.
Okay.
What time is it?
Do I have a second? Mary, did you second?
Yep.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item 5, discussion and consideration of community center request for $500.
It's actually $545.
Well, we have an immunity amendment here.
Unfortunately, just change the color of some timbers. They're going to replace those. Those countertops are starting to delaminate, and they need replacing. And Tom Barker, he gave me a copy of the quote, which I had with me sometime earlier.
Not to exceed $600.
Well. It was $545 in duty tax. He's going to actually do the installation himself. He's sort of their volunteer handyman down there.
Yeah, I know. He told
me.
He helps with a little bit of
I start smashing people.
I heard that.
We just did it.
That's right. I'm going to push him down the steps before we adopt the resolution. $545.90 for purchase of laminate countertop to replace those in the kitchen at the community center. And I make a motion that we approve that and transfer from the general fund to the community center budget and authorize that work.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Mr. Clerk, please. All right. $145 in the account. Thank you. Item number 6.
This is actually Barry and I worked on this. I don't know if I gave you a copy of this earlier.
No, we just want to pass this.
I do.
It gets easy. You won't let me download any email, so.
It gets easier all the time. I'm surprised.
Oh, I make one off and get 27, so I'm not going to lie.
Barry and I talked Sunday about the appropriateness of actually having a designated liaison to the Board of Adjustment, and as we explained in this memo, it's not like one of our other committees where we can tell them what to do. They can, they are bound by the statutes. We can't direct their actions in any way. We don't have any review of their actions. And in fact, there may be a case where we have ended up having to sue our own Board of Adjustments, which we came close to one time before. So it seems that that we don't need, and it's probably not a good idea to have a council liaison. And in the course of that conversation, Barry and I were trying to figure out how to make sure those folks knew that they had the support of the council and everything like that. And Barry's suggestion was that we just send a letter to Harry or whoever is the chairperson of that board, let them know that if they ever need anything from the council, like if they feel like they need additional training or some resources that they don't have, and anything else that you can think of, that they just contact the appropriate member of the council or the mayor. So
I think we should send that to them in the form of a letter.
I already gave it to Harry.
And I think under our current way of doing things, that the mayor appoints the liaisons, so we need to address that, I think, as a permanent.
Well, my motion would be that we just do away with the liaison to the Board of Adjustment in the list of appointments that we do when we form the new health department.
So you don't need a
liaison. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
And I looked, and the liaison to the Board of Adjustment isn't listed in the ordinance. It's just part of that policy that I got, so we don't need any further.
Item number 7, waiving the $250 permit fee for the tent that will be used in Saturday. Do I have a motion to waive the $250 permit fee?
So motion.
Actually, it's $500 now.
Whatever. Do you need to change it on the record spacing $500?
Okay. I'll put it on.
Do I have a second? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
As long as we're waiving it, we should have raised it to $1,000.
Well, I was thinking about it today. It really doesn't matter if we make it or not. We're going to get the money back in here anyway.
Okay, item number 8, we will table, I guess, the next month, unless y'all have
happy without having to be here. I mean, I'm sure all the teams are crossing the eyes on it.
He still has some updates. But
well,
he
can. We'll be talking about that. All right, item number 9, that'll be tabled until the next meeting or the first Thursday. Item number 9, Mr. John.
No. You got done. I thought it was Fawns.
Oh.
I'm not talking about.
Number 9 is the zoning.
Yeah, number 9 is the zoning attorney.
Okay. Zoning.
What? Yeah, number 9 is John. And this is, let's actually go with Barry, the intern that
Right
there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. He's not ready. John, who wants to run? Barry, run with it.
All right. Corey Mullen, I don't know how many people here know him, goes to the school of East Carolina University, and he is majoring in geography and meteorology and all that. He needs some internship time. And the idea was that he would help John in enforcement of some of these, like poop on the beach things and other things that John was assigned to. John also stated that he has enough money in this year's budget, but will need $1,000 in next year's budget to cover it. And I talked this over with all the council members, I believe, and everybody was pretty much in agreement. Yes, sir, you. Chuck.
Mr. Chuck.
Yes, sir. The only Chuck.
No, I just ran and I didn't know I was in agreement.
Well, Barry came to me about this about a month ago, and basically, from what I understood, he needed some geography time. He needed to go out on the beach, help manage the beach, and do my UTS stuff with the Army Corps of Engineers. Well, then I found out that he wanted 180 hours between May 25th to August 6th. That way I can give him 180 hours doing beach renourishment measurements. And so the idea came up then, well, why don't you put them on some code enforcement issues, such as your grass or your trash cans, real estate signs, things like that. I don't think it's a bad idea, but if I'm going to have him be performing code enforcement duties, he will have to be a sworn officer of the town. And I'm not sure if that's really the route that we're wanting to take with an intern. So that's my concern.
Well, now, wouldn't that be just a temporary? I mean, he would not be a permanent code enforcement officer, is not what we discussed.
He would still have to be able to perform the duties and statutes that, that's kind of a. Andy, jump in here.
You don't want my opinion.
Have you been trained in enforcement?
Yes, sir.
Through a training period, yes, sir.
I wouldn't necessarily call it a formal training, yes, sir.
I know Dennis is always worried about sending somebody out to enforce it.
Well, that's not able to do. You've got to let me.
You have to remember that he worked under a building inspector. But he had supervision. He was number 2.
And that would be the same case here, right?
And no, this guy he's not a building inspector or anything. He's just a student. How old is he?
23, I think.
What has happened so far? Has he started? Has he done anything? Has he already programmed? What have you done?
So we even had a paperwork that we've got to fill out.
Yes, we filled out his paperwork and sent him back to him.
And what duties were on the, you got a copy? I think we asked that before. What on the paperwork, what stipulations does it have? Barry has been filled out. Basically, it says he'll be doing GPS for nourishment and enforcement of town ordinances as prescribed, if applicable. I don't think I have a copy of it in there. I don't know.
But the only thing that, you know, hangs me up on the thing is Parks and Recreation guy was free, and so is Chuck's guy. And if this is part of his study course, you know, if it's necessary for him to graduate, I mean, that's the only thing that I, you know, kind of hangs in my head.
What John, if I understood what John said correctly, is that him doing the zoning enforcement stuff and everything like that isn't necessary for the internship, but it was necessary in order to, for John to get him 180 hours between those two dates. That, you know, you're essentially talking about a, you know,
3 days a week.
Yeah.
Just commute about 3 days a week.
3 days.
So, Will, yeah, the papers that y'all sent back, does it have a gray area that he would not be doing the geographic or whatever it was? I mean, is this sort of over the stipulations of his internship if he's doing code enforcement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess he can stay at four blocks apart, 1,200 feet from so and so.
I mean, really, I don't want to have to mess with this at all. But Barry's asked me to do this, and that's why I'm doing this.
If this guy is going to be in code enforcement, anything that he finds, or writes up, or wants to write up, or whatever, it's going to have to be approved by John.
That's correct.
Period.
That's correct.
And he really has no authority other than to bring to his attention what he has found. Because they don't want the liability of
it. Do you don't think he needs to be sworn as a code enforcement officer?
Our liability insurance, just like if you were to go out checking on some of the stuff and be bitten by a dog or fall in a hole, we're going to be covered. Just see a snake.
Word
on
the top.
Gentlemen, I make a motion that we go ahead with the internship and him working 180 hours during the prescribed time, helping John, or bringing up to John, code enforcement issues that John can follow.
I need to ask some questions. Anybody want to second?
I'll second if we get to this discussion.
How much are we paying him an hour?
We put on our $9 an hour.
Alright. To do this code enforcement, are we first in with the vehicle, or is he first in his own? Or is he going to roll?
We didn't put anything in there about that. It's $9 an hour flat. That's it.
Yeah, no, nothing else other than that.
Well, I mean, how's he going to go around and enforce this stuff?
No, I mean, there's going to be occasions when we're both out on the beach, and whether or not we're on a gator or we're on a 4x4 or a 4-wheeler, I don't know.
And she's got a driver's license, Barry, do you know?
Yes, he does.
But when he's going around checking orders, problems, I mean, how's he going to get around? Is he going to walk?
No, that's no problem.
So he's going to pay his own gas and insurance and everything. All right. I just don't think the town needs to be settled with that.
I'm still wrong. Yeah.
And also, there is no workman's comp or whatever it was. I asked Jennifer if there was any other fees or anything else.
Okay.
And she said we're not.
Well, I don't think she's correct there. I mean, if you pay $9 an hour.
Yeah, then you got 15% on top of that for our part of the.
Yeah, and Micah and all, if we don't,
30% on top of that.
Yeah, it's usually around 25-30%. And even if we don't give them any town benefits, we still have, I don't know that we can employ them and not pay workers' comp, can we?
No, he'll be an automatic on workers' comp.
We have to pay that portion of it, and we have to pay our share of Social Security. And so if you say, if we're very generous and say 9 times 1.2 times 180 hours, you're looking around numbers $2,000.
I thought I looked at around 1,600 what I was looking at before. 1,600, 1,700.
And you're going to have to amend your texture and budget to cover this.
I'm just going to have to add a little bit extra. If
all we were doing were geographical stuff, would he work for free? Do the internship for free?
From what I understand, he needs the same period to it.
Well, my suggestion was, let me just throw this out since we got discussion. What I would like you to do, if I had my brothers, which, I'm just barely one vote, but I would like you, just for my own use, to set up an equal increments 12 or 14 benchmarks from town limits, security beach to the Riggins, and photo document while he's an employee, the shifting of the sand at the same time every day for the period of time, so I can actually have a pictorial migration of where the sand moves.
I think Spencer Rogers would appreciate that too.
I mean, to me, I would really, really like to have that for the town's benefit so we could have a place to go. He would be the first benchmark. And then high tide or low tide, either one, and it worked his way every day that he's an employee here doing that.
And the way that works is he should be able, as a geographer, he should be able to get credit for that, and that's why he should be doing this. So I don't think there should be paying him for anything else. But the interns are here to get credit.
Congratulations.
My interns want to get credit.
I think we need the pictorial history. I don't know that what would Spencer Rogers feel about that.
Casey came up with a good idea.
Partner.
Just make him a contract employee under John's office. That way we don't have to give him any benefits.
He'd be a 1099.
We're 1099.
You mean if we decide to pay him?
Yeah,
if you do, that's the way to get around it, and then he'll have to pay you on tax.
All that other stuff.
Well, we need to send out the funds for the tax to come do something.
Yeah, I mean,
well, he would have to pay it as a contracted employee.
We need to explain to him that's how life works, right out.
We need to be careful because if he doesn't pay it, there might be some liability for the town a few years from now if IRS
We would still be responsible for that insurance for if he would fall under a workers' comp if something happened to him. But this would put him.
But under those stipulations, he has to provide his own tools. He has to provide a written statement as to what his duties were, and John will have to also provide him with basically a contract on what he's supposed to do. He's got to fulfill it. So there's a lot of loose ends on that 1099.
Well, before we get to the point of paying him,
yeah.
You have one idea for what he can do. There's the stuff he has to do, we have to do for the core, which is, I don't know how many hours you think that'll take. I'm sure we can find other things. I'd be curious to know exactly where the boundary line is between the buffer zone and the town. And, I know it's shown on maps, but nobody, we could come up with any number of things.
There's all kinds of things we can do.
If we finally,
I've got plenty of stuff for him to do, but summertime, use some money to use time. I don't have to be watching out for him, making sure he's busy, especially if he's getting paid.
Right.
So we know we're not getting ripped off.
But the idea of paying him was just because we were going to get him to do stuff that was outside of the realm of the internship. If we can find some meaningful things, I'm not just talking busy work, but if we can come up with some meaningful things that he can do that relate to geography or to mapping and stuff like that to fill that 180 hours and not have to pay him, wouldn't that be?
If we got permission from Sunday Point to go ahead with the disc golf course, it's the point layout, and then we could use him over there clearing the right of ways and underbrush and all the other stuff. We're doing these geographical points to make this course work. If we got permission from them, but.
Well, keep in mind this meeting has continued till Thursday. So if you, if you
want to discuss this. Mary, can you get John over to sit down and talk to the boy?
Well, he's up in Greenville right now.
So he's got
instead of telephone. Madeline, what's your pleasure? This is discussion. I've said it. But I mean, I got some real problems not having a real set of guidelines that this kid's going to be following. Yeah, well, that too. I mean, if he's doing grunt work, he's doing grunt work. But if he's doing this continuing education, that's entirely different progress.
Well, can y'all call him along and see if he'd be willing to do the internship if the client is too late to seal the study at the meeting by Thursday? When we meet.
Decide what Thursday?
Whether we're going to go on. Because right now, it sounds like if we vote right now, there's two votes against it and two votes possibly more. Which means he wouldn't do anything. But if he's amenable to getting his 180 hours as an unpaid intern, then and that's going to be some burden to John, but there might be some sentiment on the council to have that.
He wouldn't have the problem he would have with paying. I mean, if you don't have to track it, you mess it up once he's an intern.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm just on off on.
That's right. My guy hasn't been here a week, and he's supposed to come by an hour a week. He hasn't been, but I haven't known products when he's not here.
Well, an hour a week is much different than 180 hours during a 3 month period or whatever. There's a lot more work, actual physical work within an hour a week. You know, we're talking about 6 hours, you know.
Nine hours a day.
Yes.
3 days a week, I believe.
3 days a week.
Then he would work with his family the rest of the time, or if he would just... I don't know. I mean, I just think it's got a lot of loose ends here that...
Well, as I can recall tomorrow, and we can discuss it Thursday. Mm-hmm. But...
What's your favor, fellas?
I'd like to just amend Mary's motion to say that we are tabling this until Thursday after John Barry had a chance to talk to Corey.
What time are you going to get off work tomorrow?
Second.
All in favor, signal saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Can you and John get together and even do a conference call, have this boy on the speaker and hammer something out here?
I can try. I can't guarantee anything.
Well, we're not guaranteeing anything either, so.
But I don't know how long I'm going to be working tomorrow.
I mean,
that's my only problem.
Okay. All right. Item number 10. Moratorium on any other cover machines in Cary Beach. Mr. Canutis?
You already had your care of that.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't.
Unless you want a bad one.
Oh, well, that was the object of your plan.
No, we decided to do it a different way.
But you did the tax on it.
We didn't do it.
But yeah. We had a vote on that?
Yes, we did.
Any vote on it in there?
Well, that's not a moratorium. That's the...
Well, that's not, but we still have to
joke.
No, we don't have a work moratorium. That's what you're going for. Okay. Item number 12.
What?
10. And item number 10 is an ordinance adopting a privileged license tax for electronic gaming operations. Do I have anybody like to make a motion to adopt the ordinance in our hands, whereas the Board of Commissioners of Cary Beach, et cetera, et cetera?
I make that motion.
No, we can't do the ordinance change, so we don't have to have the moratorium.
But there's some money involved.
Or again,
they're already trying to go
ahead. Yeah, that's what we're doing. All in favor?
You said, let me, just give me, there's, if you read Andy closely in here, like, in, under section 1, where it starts any business enterprise, skip down to 1, 2, 3, 4th line that starts with distributed, whether or not the value of such distribution is determined, E. Saved or by predetermined odds. Is that supposed to be by?
Where are you at?
Determined or just being instead of by. Where these four lines down under section one.
Just the letter B, electronic games played or by predetermined odds. Now that doesn't include pinball machines or anything, does it?
They don't usually play out.
Look at five. That's what it is.
And this is an ordinance that has been tested, you said?
Well, it's been adopted in Aberdeen, and it's doing fine.
Okay. Yeah, pinball machines, that's...
And then, should we, in the actual ordinance that we adopt, are we deleting the for example paragraph? Or is that going to stay in the ordinance? Under section 3?
Yeah, that stays in.
I would think that stays in. And yeah. The whole lot, that's just an example.
That's just
no, but.
That's to clarify.
Actually, this is the ordinance they gave me in Capitol Hill when I went up school government.
So okay. The next time Mr. Bigley comes to pay his privilege license,
okay.
He's going to have to pony up.
He's going to have the big one.
Did he apply? Well,
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. Has he got a machine?
He's got two.
Two yeah. Both machines?
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Ooh, that's a big walking bill, isn't he?
Come on, brother. It'd
be $7,000 for two machines.
$7,500.
How do we get this information out to everybody? Because didn't you say there's some folks who were thinking about putting it in?
Well, I think somebody told me that Tom has the video things already got them, and I think Mike may have some. So. Let's send it out back to the street festival.
Some way we could do it.
Is this going to be retroactive?
No.
I won't be ready to act.
So when they come in to renew their license, when they'll have to pay their previous license. Huh?
That'll be made of retroactive.
We could include this in part of the emails that I've been sending out the town news. I mean, just to keep the public up to date on what ordinance amendments occur. That way they're aware, because otherwise, unless you read the minutes, they're actually going through our code, you don't know.
I imagine after the amend or whatever the other little girl's son, young lady's name is,
Chelsea.
Gets the minutes, yeah, it'll be all in favor.
That's a way of doing it.
And John is responsible for enforcing this?
Every year, about as we go out and I check our count all the machines and all our criminal license stuff.
And what happens if they do not pay?
We've got two choices, sign or sue.
I just want to make sure we went through all of this so we know what's going to happen.
Do I have a motion to adopt to the ordinance?
You motion.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Exactly. Yeah. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
That was a week out of there. Thank you.
No quicker, sir.
Now, the most exciting part of tonight.
Oh, right. I have to wait for
it. Well, now, wait a minute. We haven't done the secret that John's presentation that John was going to do. Have we?
Well,
thank you, John. Glad to stay.
We'll just send that out of the way, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot. In between recess.
Well, I'm trying to get your attention, but you're all jumped to the room real quick.
Oh.
I know that it over.
Well, you handed out all the copies to me.
Just give a synopsis of the fact that.
Oh.
To the council that
Spencer
does not recommend any Sam's
Honestly, he thinks our ridge looks awesome. He thinks there's a couple places that could use some sea oaks, but he doesn't necessarily recommend the plane to him. He goes into detail that, you know, the design at the core, design for this beach is actually wider and better than what it was when it was originally put in after all the storms in 1996. He goes in to say that, you know, if you put a sand fence in there, all that sand prohibits the sand from blowing to the primary dune, which is in the westward side of the beach, which is right beside the houses. And so he is not a proponent of sand fencing, so he does not like that and recommends against it. And that's pretty much about it, other than he thinks our beach is in marvelous condition. And
was it Spencer who came up with the herd mentality, putting the sand fence at the beach access area? Wasn't that his idea?
I don't know who came up with that. Something like
that. I thought that was his idea.
No, he does not encourage sand fencing at all.
Well, I take that back. You know, you might be right.
It was his idea, yeah.
People from walking out house to
dinner. Yeah, that was purely for that reason alone.
Yeah,
to
her mentality.
He states in here that he doesn't see a whole lot of pedestrian.
Right, I mean, I remember the rule, and then I saw one there, and they didn't see a lot of pedestrian damage. So.
And he also said that, or if I understand it, you need to put him on like a 45-degree angle.
One thing I want to bring to your attention, that 600 foot long area where the core pulled those over create a larger dune. All those people down at Ocean Dunes kind of want to see sand fencing in there. And after last meeting, Sonny went ahead and ordered the sand fence. And so while Spencer didn't recommend us putting in the sand fence, I'd like to know if y'all would like to see that same fence placed anyway.
I think we should, because the residents, you know, demarcate, you know, and keep people from walking.
Yeah. I know. Well, the one place you went down there, John, the
Jim.
No, that's not my feeling. She's a HOA, affiliated with HOA.
Miss Martin?
No, her name was like
Joy
or Coy or Lola.
Nola.
Nola. Yeah, she had, you know, actually gotten behind the schedule of her Christmas trees on there and all that stuff. So I think just me and done got a little bit of a good deal yesterday. Like Tim said, to put those things up there.
Well, we've already got it. So have y'all seen you want to see it go up?
Yeah.
If we already have purchased it,
yeah,
and
on that, that's why we're just
doing that. The other one of the things that I mentioned was the Davis Road vehicle access. He sees any of those crossovers, vehicle accesses that are kind of low to the ground and the dunes are around. He sees that as a weak point in our dune system. And one of his recommendations was to come in there and put a couple of loads of sand to raise the elevation before we put the crossover ramp back down.
Is that where they kind of compacted it running heavy equipment?
No, sir. It made it a little more compacted, but it was pretty much already where it is now. So I'd like to
find the work to fill it in and put it on top of it.
If y'all want to vote on it,
the only question I would have about that is, didn't we have a problem at N Avenue with the fire department's truck going down a steeper ramp?
And I've got to talk to Sylvan Harold about this, but I haven't had a chance to discuss it with them yet.
But you didn't just tell me raw information, tell them to use your best. We get a common sense approach.
If there's a way to do it where the vehicles can still get across there safely.
Well, that's wrong.
But Spencer's absolutely right. That's, you know, the water comes in and then washes the goose out from behind it. So,
does everybody concur with that? Use their best. Okay.
given the recommendations of Spencer and then use your best common sense first. And we'll vote for that.
Okay.
Yep, pictures are so right. Where did your picture go? You've all seen the email that Dennis received about people coming down and having to do blah, blah, blah. Casey had a common sense, good common sense, Casey.
Okay.
To Google this boy's address. He does this. This is a professional who has a website and it is dedicated to songs. And Dennis, he's emailed Dennis a second time with no Google permitted. John, the ordinance, you got yours in front of
you? Basically, we've got an ordinance that says that you can't have anything that's improper or interstitial clothing. And Dennis knows about it, and it's kind of a vague ordinance, but I think it's pretty direct. I don't think there's any kind of question about what's insufficient, what's improper about a song on a podcast.
He has addressed his concerns to me and Dennis, and I would, what I'm looking for from y'all is Dennis and I would like to send him a letter after further investigation into his request that we think this may be a business that he's running, or, you know, this is not family-oriented, and it's not what we want here to be.
I don't think we can impute any motives or anything to him. He asked for an interpretation of our ordinance.
He said the first email was he ended up coming down on their honeymoon.
I don't think we can make any judgment about that, or I mean, the fact that the man has a website has nothing to do with it.
I think we can send a letter saying we don't want any commercial, you know.
I think you can. I think that you're overstepping the bounds. The question is our phones allowed on our beach? Why do we have to care whether it's a business or not? Because if we tell him it's a commercial thing, he comes down here without his cameras, and he and his wife just go up and down without a phone, or with a phone, or whatever. You know? Where are you at?
Well, what would your suggestion be? Let's leave it all flat out.
I think if they want an interpretation, then you know, we can just say it to the sense of the council. I think the problem we're going to run into, Andy, close the picture of it. I mean, I guess the question is. I mean, I think we can all say that it is our interpretation of our ordinance that phones are not permissible under the ordinance.
Right.
And that's all we have to say.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And then, amongst ourselves is that ordinance enforceable if they come down here and wear a phone?
That's an excellent question, because we went over this originally in 1973 when they first came out with skimpy bathing suits and everybody was incensed in the whole nine yards. If we went to court, God knows what would happen with a judge sitting up there, depending on how young he is. When you say insufficiently clothed, thereby causing improper exposure of this person to bathe in front of the Atlantic Ocean. You know, what is insufficient?
I mean, heck, you can swim in the ocean, but naked.
Yeah.
So it's the way it's worded, it says being so naked or insufficiently clothed to swim or bathe. Well,
it's a $25 violation.
But, you know, I would just tell him that. Let it go at that and see where it goes. Because I don't know of anything else that we could do.
Now,
I don't think you are.
That's not just the phone. That's sufficient in some place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, but Chuck's already put in to be able to go out and enforce this rule.
Yeah, he wants to say what he wants to do.
Phones have been around for 5,000 years.
Almost
what's your plan, gentlemen? What's your wish? You send him a letter saying,
saying that's not our problem? Personally, I think it would not lend itself to our family beach image that we're trying to promote.
Well, that's almost what Dennis wrote in his email. His first email is a response. We tend to have a family type atmosphere, but I'll look for further interpretation from counsel.
Well, let's give him that first question.
So. Good.
It's consensus of town council that phones,
whether or not our animal or something, are not appropriate for a party. Do we have something in our ordinance that says wherever we use the pronoun he, that it refers to he and she?
Right.
Is the way that ordinance is written at all?
Now, okay, does this leave open the possibility of, other than a thong, from going topless for a...
Oh, that would be amazing. Anything.
I mean, you know, are we going to convert our family beach to their area?
I guess we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it.
I may try to play with this plan to come up with something at the next meeting we have.
Well, the good thing about it is we don't have to hold it up here and all else can just pass this ordinance.
Do what?
What? So the good thing about it, we'll have to have a public hearing on it. All we have to do is pass it.
That's right.
So you think you could come up with something by Thursday?
How about it come up?
No. I think for tonight all we need to do is Dennis ask for our interpretation. He's going to write to the man and tell him the council says bonds are not allowed, male or female.
That's right.
That's just answer the man's question. Because this whole thing, I mean, there are some ordinances I've seen that try to adjust this that actually
do more damage.
How many square inches of fabric or exposed skin there can be, you know, which is ridiculous.
I mean, 36 inch measuring tape. I'll check that.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that this isn't some sort of a test, too. You know,
he obviously
looked at all of our ordinances and saw a flaw.
He also lied about his name.
Well, that was up to
him. And his honeymoon.
And what?
And he was not. Well, this is what he does. He's not coming on his honeymoon and asking whether a man can wear a thong. That's what he asked in his email. If the rule of thongs that they were permitted, whether they also apply to men.
What's he
do? He takes these photographs, but he was saying that he was coming on his honeymoon and that his name was Justin. His name's not Justin.
What is his name?
It's like Jonas. That's the name that was on his website, or on the page that we mentioned.
All right, we're going to draft a letter that is the council's interpretation that thongs are not permitted.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to tell Dennis.
And we're going to tell Dennis.
Because Dennis said that he would check with us and get back to the guy. So.
Okay, so we'll send a letter an interoffice email to Dennis that says it's our interpretation of thongs are not permitted. Okay, good enough, guys. Anything else to come forward to council tonight?
We want to raise the fine for violation of this ordinance to $100.
I like it, $150.
Well, the other.
We want them to come to the end of that.
Let them go to Carolina.
There are other areas in this section that it would also apply to. So you would, if somebody is asleep on the beach strand after midnight, they are also subject to this fine. Surfing, it gives particular areas where you can and cannot surf.
The surfing thing, we had some problematic. I would certainly go to $150.
So it would be 1233.1?
No.
That's what the violation
was. I don't want to know. I need to review those ordinances before we just say 150 flat for any one of those.
I mean, it's not just this one.
I think
if you want to make it 150 for just the thongs, that's fine, but nothing else.
Subject to council approval.
Don't even say that.
All right. All right.
Did I have
Very secular.
Oh, sure. Sure.